Chapter 4. The Message. Max's mom, Lacey, and his little brother, Kevin, who was just 9, sat at the dining room table. Everyone was done eating except Kevin when Max walked in. "Where did you go, guys?" Lacey said. Max sat down at the table next to Kevin, who was playing with a heap of mashed potatoes. Kevin didn't appear hungry. He was engrossed in sculpting the white mound on his plate. "Me and Opie hit some balls at the park," Max replied. "Homework, mister, right after you're done eating," Lacey admonished him. "Yes, Mom, I already did it. Show me I'm not doing it again for you last minute because you forgot." Suddenly, Kevin pushed his face into his mound of mashed potatoes. He opened his mouth and took a large bite of the volcano-shaped heap. Max and Lacey watched him wordlessly. Grandpa Schieffer appeared just then from the kitchen holding his own plate and chuckled. "Oh dear boy, das ist sehr schlecht, bad manners," Grandpa said half in German. "Mom, Kevin's being gross," Max suddenly blurted out. Max pushed himself away from the table, stuck the fork in his own mashed potatoes, and lifted his plate and glass. "I'm going upstairs to eat." "Kevin, stop playing with your food and eat it," Lacey snapped. Kevin smiled perversely, delighting in his older brother's weak stomach. Kevin stared at Max until he knew he was looking, and then spit the bite he had taken out back onto his plate through pursed lips. It came out in a liquid stream. Max shut his eyes tight. "Mom, tell him to quit it," he shouted. Max carried his dinner from the table running and disappeared through the dining room. Lacey called after Max. "Homework." When he was gone, Lacey exchanged a smile with her father. It wasn't the first time Max was irked by Kevin at the dinner table. There was almost a daily skirmish. Lacey watched again as Kevin sank his chin into the heap of mashed potatoes. "Enough, you put that plate in the kitchen," she snapped. Max's dog, Scooch, was still on his bed. Clothes still littered the floor. His baseball bat and helmet sat atop a swivel chair. His baseball glove capped a large globe on top of his desk. Max placed his plate and glass next to the globe. "Scooch Pooch," Max said to his dog. Max waved a hand in front of Scooch's face, and it obediently jumped to the floor. Max grabbed his notebook and pencil and plopped himself on the bed. He opened his notebook, but then quickly ditched it and grabbed his cell phone. Max clicked his phone busily until he found an app to download called Secret Message to the Future. Max read the description aloud to Scooch. "Have you ever wanted to send a message to future generations? We offer guaranteed the means to deliver electronically, safely, and securely your message up to 100,000 years in the future." Underneath the text, Max viewed a cheesy image of a flying car with a messenger boy holding an envelope through the car window. "What do you think, Scooch?" Max asked. "It's only $1.99. Max continued to read aloud. "Download now to securely deposit your message in our Chrono Vault." Max hit the download button and a progress bar animated. After 10 seconds, his cell phone chimed success. Max clicked to open the app on his phone. "To whom it may concern," Max typed and then hesitated. "No, that's not right." Max continued typing. "Future people of Earth, I'm living in the year 2020. My greatest wish is to see the future. I want to drive a flying car and see houses on the moon. I want to leave here because I am so bored. No one really understands me. No one, except maybe my grandpa. I like school, but they don't teach enough science." Max continued thinking. He chewed his lower lip without knowing it whenever he typed. "I am important because I am the first person to discover an alien object on the Earth. I will trade it for a trip in time." Max looked up at the calendar on his writing desk. He continued typing and reading aloud. "I will be waiting for you on Tuesday, May 5th at 12 p.m., the year 2020. Max said. He looked at Scooch to see if the dog understood the import of what was just said. But Scooch merely sat on the floor chewing the pencil he had just ditched. "That's tomorrow, Scooch. I made the date tomorrow. If they're time travelers, they can come any old day." Max opened a map app on his cell phone and studied it for a moment before he continued. "I will be at latitude 42.25181, longitude minus 71.05062. My town is called Milton. I will wait for you in the park cemetery where I will bury this message." Max clicked off his phone and placed it on his writing desk. He plopped his head down on the pillow, only a moment, when his cell made a familiar ding.
"Max, look at the photo,"
Sarah wrote. Sarah had sent him a picture of Mr. Phelps seated at his desk. Max examined it.
"Okay, it's from today.
So what, exactly? Your metal thing is missing, Max. Mr. Phelps lost it. Look at the photo, it's disappeared." Max looked one more time at the photo of Mr. Phelps seated at his desk. He appeared to be looking at something in his hands, an invisible something.
"Very funny, Sarah. I have that app. I can make your nose disappear and give you a pig one."
With that, Max proceeded to find a photo of Sarah he had from last week. It was at a library book sale for which they both had volunteered. He edited it with a pig nose and ears and clicked send. He chuckled self-contentedly.
"Very funny,"
Sarah responded.
"But this is real. I'm not joking you."
"Whatever, Max. Good night, Sarah. Gonna read something." Max returned his cell phone to his writing desk and looked at his dinner. The mashed potatoes still conjured up the image of a boy spitting food onto his plate. He grimaced and instead picked up his copy of How the Dinosaurs Died. He flipped through some pages until he came to an illustration of an asteroid streaking through the sky. Below it, a brontosaurus mired in a large swamp turned its serpentine neck to look up at the impending disaster. The caption underneath it said, "Some 65 million years ago, the dinosaurs were extinguished by what scientists believe was a giant asteroid or comet. There is evidence of a large crater in the Yucatan Peninsula, in present-day Mexico. In addition to the dinosaurs, this event is believed to have wiped out three-quarters of the Earth's species." As Max flipped through the pages of his book, the image of Mr. Phelps was still illuminated on his phone. In an instant before his phone slept, the image of his teacher entirely vanished too, leaving just an empty chair. The next morning, Max got out of bed, put on his sneakers, and grabbed his phone from his writing desk. He went downstairs and out the back door to the garage. On a bench there were some power tools, a spool of copper wire, a hammer, a cookie tin full of nails, and a fishing tackle box. Max took the tackle box with lures, bobbers, and hooks, opened the metal latch, and proceeded to turn it upside down over the bench. A few bobbers bounced to the floor. He ignored them, and quickly he put the box under his arm and grabbed a shovel hanging on the garage wall. Max sprinted down the street until he entered the wooded path of Cunningham Park. He ran clumsily with the tackle box and shovel. His cell phone dangled precariously from his back pocket. At the bottom of the path, there was a cemetery that had a few gravestones from the 18th century. On the far side of the cemetery, and underneath the shade of some large oaks, were the modern gravestones. Max walked over to one and read the inscription, "And Marie Schieffer, wife, dear friend and grandmother. 1927 to 2019. Max walked under a large oak tree, a few feet from his grandmother's grave, and planted his shovel in the ground. He was near to the cemetery's stone wall at the edge of the grounds, and was sure he wouldn't dig up any skeletons there. He worked silently until he had excavated a large hole in the ground. "I hope you don't mind, Grandma," Max said, looking at her gravestone. No one's going to dig here for a long time.
Sweat dripped from Max's forehead. He retrieved his cell phone from his back pocket and gently placed it inside the plastic tackle box. He closed the lid, then knelt at the 3-foot-deep hole he had just dug. He paused for a moment before stooping to lower it ceremoniously to the bottom. Just as Max began throwing loose dirt onto the tackle box, a muffled ding reached his ears. Max paused. When the sound stopped, he continued pushing the loose dirt back into the hole. When Max had the hole filled completely, he thought he heard the cell ding one more time. But he didn't wait to listen. He left with his shovel dragging behind him. Above him, the leaves of the oak tree rustled in a great gust of wind.